Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Wisdom of Ada Marie show, and this is Mary Blake, your host. And our famous seer has not phoned in yet. This is amazing because it has never happened before, and I'm not sure quite what to do, unless she's been called to the hospital to save somebody's life or other. That this happened from time to time. And let me see, we have a couple of people waiting on cue, and what I'm going to do is I'm just going to ask you, would you like to talk with me until Ada Marie gets here?
Sure, happy to talk to you. Can Ada,
okay,
when
great.
She does join, can you bring me back on?
Well, of course I can, and you can, well, in fact, you can stay on right now. I've got two of you here, and you can both ask me questions and ask me basically what are you really interested in? How did you happen to call?
I saw you on Blog Talk, and I was interested in your guest.
Oh, okay. You saw me, or you saw Ada Marie?
I saw the show.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Now, am I speaking with Rose?
No. Trish.
You're speaking with Trish. Okay. Rose hasn't spoken up yet. I don't know whether she's interested in talking to me or not. Anyway, I can tell you a little bit about Ada Marie. Her great-grandmother was a seer in the court of St. James, I guess, and in England, and she eventually came to the United States and wound up in Montana, and which is where Ada Marie was born. And Ada Marie was trained from the time she was a very small girl. As for me, I was born in southern Illinois in the middle of the Bible Belt, and nobody said anything about healers. Nobody said any. We had what they call the holy rollers, you know, but I was not trained. And I spent, at least half of my lifetime trying to fit into somebody else's version of normal, and it was pretty miserable. I had some good times along the way, but I, you know, when God gives you a talent, and you say, no, really, that's nice, but I don't really want to do that. I want to be a singer. You know, I had a big idea. I was going to be a singer with the big bands. I knew I was a much better singer than most of those women who were out there. And then I had other things like writing and very different interests. And then when God has given you something special and you ignore it, you get whispers in your ears, and then you got a tap on the shoulder. And finally, if you ignore it long enough, he just kind of pushes you off the cliff. And that's what happened to me. I wound up with a cancer scare. And believe it or not, I lost my job because I was out sick all the time, coughing up blood and stuff. And a friend of mine said, "Well, you know, you're out of you don't have anything to do. Come on to this conference with me. It's in Atlantic City, and it's real interesting. It's Association for Humanistic Psychology." And, of course, I'd made every excuse in the book. And she said, "Look, you know, I'm going to go. You can ride with me. It's not going to cost anything extra for you to share the room with me. So all you've got is your food. You'd have that anyway. So come on." So I wound up going, even though at the last minute she backed out because her husband got back from a business trip and she couldn't go. And I got there and I had no place to stay. And I was standing in the lobby with my package in my hand, saying, I don't know what I'm doing here. And the woman next to me says, what do you mean you don't know what you're doing here? I said, well, you know, I don't know anybody. I've never been to Atlantic City or to this conference before, and so don't know, have a place to stay. I don't know what I'm doing. So she says, oh, go over there on the bulletin board. People are always advertising for somebody to share their room. It'll save, you know, they want to save expenses. So I said, okay, and I'm going, and most of the cards were for guys. And I'm going with my finger down. I finally found a female, and I've got my finger on the card so I won't miss it. And this little voice pipes up behind me. You got your finger on my card. You want a place to stay tonight? You want to share with me? So I said, yeah. Oh, my goodness. One second. Here we go. Whoops. Hello. We're on the air right now. Can I call you back? Thanks. So anyway, within about 20 minutes, I was checked in. Everything was fine. She said, well, which one of the workshops are you going? I said, well, I thought it didn't start till tomorrow. She says, oh, well, you know, they're the special ones tonight. And I said, what are they about? And when she got to healers, I said, that's me. And so away I went, and I was sitting on the floor in a circle, sending energy. I'd already figured out that I was a healer, but I was doing kind of what you call in the closet stuff, you know? And I didn't want to admit to anybody what this weird stuff that was going on with me. So here I was sending energy like crazy to this woman with cancer. And afterwards, I was out in the hall looking at some of the brochures, and this guy I had been sitting next to came up and said, what are you doing for dinner? I said, nothing. So he said, well, why don't you join me? I said, good. So after the dinner, he gives me a big hug. And it was as if, oh, my Lord, it was as if a blast furnace opened up. And this heat shot out at me, and I jumped backwards and bumped myself on the wall and said, what was that? And he said, oh, it was just that healing energy. And I said, well, how do you do it? And he says, it just comes when it wants to, and it doesn't come when it doesn't want to. So the next morning I woke up, and a miracle had happened. It was as if I had never been sick. I took a deep breath, and the air went in, and the air came out, and holy smoke, sure enough, nothing happened. So I realized something amazing had happened. And I went through all of these incredible, incredible workshops, and I was so lucky. I got a free ride on the way home. And the woman happened to be a therapist, because most of the people in the session were therapists. And she's saying to me, well, tell me, how'd you get there? And I told her, and she said, well, what's your background? And I told her, and she said, wait a minute, what do you mean? And I said, then what happened? And you didn't have any help, no professional help, and all these terrible things happening to you. So I kind of relived my life and did a whole huge therapy thing from beginning to end on this ride home. And while we were doing that, I realized, holy cow, I've just been healed. I'm a healer. I'm refusing to stand out, reach out, and heal other people. And yet I've just been healed by a healer. And I had cancer. And, of course, what are you going to do? You're going to start feeling guilty. You know, I'm God gave me this and I'm refusing to do it, which I figure was God's plan all along. So anyway, I in that ride on the way back to New York, I committed the rest of my life to being a healer. And I realized that I didn't know what the heck I was doing, so I just, the commitment was to be an instrument of divine purpose, because I realized that I'm just an instrument. I mean, God doesn't have any hands and feet, and we have to be his voice and his hands and move around for him. And as that, I'm an instrument of divine purpose. So,
right. Very interesting story.
So one of my colleagues happens to be on the line right now. May I introduce you, David? Or let me see if I get him on here. This is a gentleman I've worked with, and he has, I believe we are talking to David. Is that right?
Well, yes. I was just listening. I didn't know I was in the host queue, but that was an amazing story.
I just put you in because we have this wonderful, wonderful lady, and Ada Marie, for some reason, something happened, and she didn't show up, and so we decided that we would talk, and so I was explaining to her some of my story. And
well, I've heard a glimmer of it, but I didn't hear all of that before, so that was very interesting, and I know how you committed yourself to a lifetime of healing as an instrument, and
mm-hmm.
I believe that's something that we all have a calling for, but not many choose to heed it. And
mm-hmm.
So it's wonderful, wonderful that you chose to do so.
Yeah, and David, by the way, Trish is listening in, and we decided just to hang in there, even though Anna Marie seems to be on another planet at the moment. But anyway, I wanted to let her know that you have several radio shows, and you've written some books, and have had some amazing experiences of your own.
Yes.
Have called into David's show. He has wonderful guests, and he is a wonderful host.
Hi, Trish.
Oh, that is great.
Hi, David. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm actually, going to let you two, since this is your profession, I'm going to let you two chat, and I'm just going to listen.
Oh my.
Okay, that is interesting. All right, so. So David, how are things going with you these days? I know that you've just lost a member of your family.
Well, yes, a fine member of the family, and it's always sad to lose a pet. She'd been with us. Is Ada Marie there?
Nope. But Trish signed off, so I guess it's just us. And I don't know. Have you received any kind of messages or awareness of this wonderful pet that you had so long?
No, not yet. Not yet. Wait a minute. I take that back. I've twice thought that I'd seen her out of the corner of my eye, and it was, I can't say that it was a comfort, because I was still in a place of grief, and I'm still grieving, but I'm healing.
Mm-hmm.
It just, when I think about it now, it's comforting to think that she might have been showing herself to me. But, I miss being able to pet her and hearing her purr, her little voice
yeah.
was so so endearing to me, and I had to pick
sure.
up her ashes yesterday, and that choked me
up
a little bit. They'd made a cute little paw print that I had to bake, and so I have that and her ashes up on my mantle for now. Not sure what I'm going to do with them. I actually have a whole pet cemetery of previous pets' ashes in the house, which someday we'll bury.
I don't know if I ever told you, but one of my students and I buried my Fritzy in strawberry fields.
You told me that, yes.
It was totally illegal, but the next year there was the most magnificent bush that was growing over where she lay.
Oh,
and
wonderful!
It was like a snowstorm. It was so full of wonderful blossoms, and it made me feel very good.
I can imagine. Sure.
And of course, we had a memorial service for her with about 18 people, and who surrounded the tree she was buried under.
Sweet.
That was absolutely fabulous. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, we do feel that the spirits of our four-footed friends are definitely with us from time to time, and it is very, very comforting to know that that they too do not just end. I mean, you know, some people think you live and you die and that's it, but forget it. You know,
right?
Really forget it. Let me just check and see, David. I think we have someone else who might be interested in chatting with us.
Great.
Hello.
Hi there. Hi. I'm sorry. I was just listening.
Okay.
You.
What's your name?
Donna.
Donna. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Happy to hear from you. Good. Okay, I'll put you back on hold here.
Okay.
Since you don't want to particularly want. If you want to talk, please beep me, okay?
Okay.
All right. So, Fritzy was quite amazing. Of course, you know, I was teaching spiritual development classes, and she attended each one of them. And it was... One of the amazing things that happened in the class was that Fritzy evidently was having a wonderful time, and she was evidently enjoying an astral projecting class that was teaching. And the Indian astrologer Rakesh spoke to me after the class. He had total recall, so he always filled me in on what was going on when I was gone. And he said it was fabulous. He said Stardust was amazing. She's an amazing teacher. And he says I was flying. He says I had never had an astral projection trip like that in my life. I was zooming through space, and he said I looked over my shoulder and there was Fritzy, and she had all of her four paws were all stretched out, you know, and she was flying, she was keeping pace with me, and he said boy, did that do something to my ego, you know. He said, she was incredible, and I was teaching the DMA and the mastering your unconscious choices, you know, and she was sitting on my lap, and at the end of each class we had a technique which was really guided imagery we went out and we did certain things, and so Fritzy threw herself on the floor and all four legs stretched, and she went through the tensing and the relaxing, and we got back, and the last of the technique was take a deep breath and stretch and wiggle your fingers and toes and then return to normal consciousness. And everybody looked around. They said, well, Fritzy didn't return to normal consciousness. Is still out. And I said, well, maybe she's returning to normal consciousness at her own speed, you know. And at that very moment, she did one of those cat-like things where she went from stretched out flat into an alert reaction. And, of course, the cloud cracked up completely. So she attended every class I ever gave. And then one time Shriya Kaya was in. And, of course, Shriya Kaya is a 12-foot-tall extraterrestrial. And Fritzy could see. She could see the spirits. And she, I don't know whether how she was communicating with them, but evidently she was. And she tried to jump up on Shriya Kaya's lap, which was about a foot above mine because he's twice as tall, over twice as tall as I am, you know. And she fell. And she went tumbling. And I was jerked back out of trance because everybody was laughing hysterically. And I said, what happened? And they said, well, Fritzy tried to jump up on Shriya Kaya's lap, and it wasn't solid enough to hold her. And they said that the look on her face when she landed was just unbelievably funny because she had very expressive features. So I said, isn't that amazing? I couldn't imagine that she could actually see it so clearly that she was convinced it was okay to jump up on their lap. Well, after that, instead of, she had this little habit, and she would, when she wanted to jump up on my lap, she didn't want to startle me, so she would go, huh? And jump right up. Well, after that, she would come walk up next to me and put her front paw out in the air about a foot above my lap, and she would go down until she felt flesh. And when she felt flesh, she would climb up on my lap. She never leaped on my lap again as long as she lived with me.
Really?
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, yes.
I guess for a cat, not landing on your feet is very embarrassing. Didn't want to do that again.
Yeah.
So your little girl has now come to see you. What is her name?
Her name's Sunset Angel.
Sunset
She's a
Angel.
Black key that we found at sunset, and across her breastbone, she had what appeared like wings, a big white splash. So that's how she got her name.
Well, she's purring with the angels now.
Yes. Yes, she is.
So I think that Fritzy will reach out to her.
Oh, that would be nice.
Fritzy was my healer cat, and I even had testimonials to her. She was one of the most enlightened beings I've ever known. So I would say that your Sunset Angel is in very, very good hands.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, she has a lot of brothers and sisters on the other side, two of whom she knew. But I've had a lot of pets over the years,
mm-hmm.
and I still have a lot.
That's great. So, what's going on with your writing these days, and with your shows?
Well, I continue to revise books that I've previously written. In fact, I was working on one today. And this week, I have my shows are Thursday and Friday night at 7:30 Eastern time. And
Want to give them the call-in number?
Absolutely. It is 646-727-3116. That's 646-727-3116. And Thursday, I have Jim Phillips on, who's an amazing life spirit coach. And then I have a medium on Friday by the name of Elizabeth Anglin. And this will be her first time on my show. But she sounds very enthusiastic and talented. And so I'm looking forward to having her on the show. And she will be doing free readings for people that are interested in participating. So I always encourage people, especially if I have a spiritually gifted person on the show, to call in at 7:15, because oftentimes, even if they call in at 7:30, we can't get to them. There are just so many people in the queue. The word to the wise, call in as close to 7:15 as you can if you want to speak to somebody.
And that's Eastern Standard Time.
That's correct. Daylight time right now.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Eastern Daylight Time. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Very good.
And then I have another psychic next Thursday. I have another new psychic on next Thursday by the name of Carolyn Zani. So it's an interesting month. I always enjoy having new people on, and I'm honored of folks like Ada Marie and yourself on my show on a somewhat regular basis, so that's a pleasure too.
And how do you feel about interviewing these people and really introducing them to your audience? Is it a very rewarding thing for you? Do you learn things from it? What's it like for you?
Well, it's somewhat humbling to meet somebody that has such profound gifts. It's just amazing to see how some people can tap into spirit and remarkably read people, read their life scripts for them, if you will. Of course, I get validation from the callers when the guests hit on things that are true in their lives. And so then I know that somebody is the real deal. But I haven't had anybody on that I haven't felt has had those gifts, so I've been fortunate in that respect. But it's very humbling for me, and I just find myself feeling quite amazed at the gifts of some of these folks.
Well, I think you're quite gifted yourself, though you very rarely reveal it, but even the way that you bring out the gifts of others is also a gift unto itself.
Well, thank you. I'm not discounting the fact that I have some of my own gifts. I'm quite perceptive. I don't tend to see the future for people, although sometimes I've been known to channel, and I believe that I channel when I write my books. And so it's always amazing to serve as an instrument for some higher consciousness that is not part of my own ego or my own intellect, and that always amazes me when that sort of material passes through me. And the first time that happened was after a friend of mine who'd been a channeler had passed away in 1984, and the following morning I sat down and channeled something that came from her.
Well, there are so many different ways of channeling, you know. Very often people channel through music, they channel through art, channel sometimes just by simply passing on something that they heard or learned at the absolute perfect time when it means the most to the person who was listening.
Don't you think that whenever somebody receives an inspiration and passes it on through whatever means, that that's a form of channeling?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know,
and everybody does it.
Yeah, and the whole thing is that some people make it into such a big deal and they carry on so and egotistically and everything to the point where it intimidates other people and keeps them from really expressing their own greatness. And that disturbs me.
Well, that disturbs me too, because we all have psychic potential and we all are channels and vessels. And no one's any better or worse than anybody else. It's just that we hone our gifts in different manners, and we're all unique expressions, as I say on my show, of the ultimate source of our beings. And, you know, who would want to be like everybody else? We are all divinely inspired in our own fashion.
Definitely. Absolutely. And I always... I catch myself every once in a while saying, God can use anybody.
Right.
It's really true, though. Sometimes you hear the most profound things coming from a child's mouth or coming from someone standing next to you on the subway or a plumber or who knows, you know, a grocer. Who knows?
Oh, you never know where you're going to receive a message from.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you just need to remain open and recognize that when you put forth a question, it's going to come back to you as an answer through some means or another. You may not get it immediately, and it may come to you through spirit, or it may come to you through God in another person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I believe there was an expression that I heard once that I thought was so profound. It's two words, poised anticipation.
I like that.
If we can live our lives in poised anticipation. Waiting for the greatness to come through, and ready for it when it happens. To me, that's really really the essence of it, because you never know when you're going to be needed, you never know what you're going to be needed for, or who needs you, you know.
That's true, and I think the other piece of that is that when you do receive the message, that it is so important to express gratitude. And the more you do that, the more you're going to find answers being revealed to you or abundance coming your way.
Absolutely. Well, I do believe that is about what we are all about here. And I'm so glad that you called in, and I'm still very puzzled at what happened to our very dear golden oracle, Ada Marie. I will continue calling her until I find out what happened. So until that time, thanks again for calling in, and I do appreciate you very, very much.
Oh,
thank
back
you.
At you, Mary.
And to the listening audience, love and light, and we will be back to you with another of the Ada Marie shows as soon as I locate her. Thank you. Bye.